Hallelujah. Hey, everybody. Hey. Let's go ahead. We're going to have a message entitled Putting Away Childish Things. We're going to look through the eyes of the Apostle Paul just for a minute. And this is the mature testimony. We've just had testimonies here. This is Paul's testimony in Acts 26. And he's before a king named Agrippa. Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." And then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. He says, "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus Christ. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme and in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I joined a journey to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified in the faith in me.'" And he goes on. I just wanted to say, here you have an orphan mentality, religious-spirited man who is now functioning as a fully mature son in the faith, doing the Father's business. Isn't that amazing? And so, chosen from birth, Galatians, I'll just hold it there for a minute. He says, he's writing in Galatians 11, he says, "Beloved ones, let me repeat emphatically that the gospel entrusted to me was not given to me by any man. No one taught me this revelation, for it was given to me directly by the unveiling of Jesus Christ." Now, this is from the Passion Translation. "But now you have heard stories on how severely I harassed and persecuted Christians and how systematically I endeavored to destroy God's church, all because of my radical devotion to the Jewish religion. My zeal and passion for the doctrines of Judaism distinguished me among my people, for I was far more advanced in my religious instruction than others my age. But then God called me by His grace and chose me from my birth to be His." Isn't that beautiful? "He was pleased to unveil His Son in me so that I would proclaim Him to the peoples of the world." You have that, put next verse up there. "But then God called me by His grace, and chose me from my birth to be His." Let's look at the next slide. Everybody read this with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us. Stop just for a minute and point to somebody. Go ahead and say, you've been chosen. You've been chosen. Now look at this. This is amazing. When did he choose you? When did he choose? He chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world? We'll get to it. That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Let's praise the Lord. So let's declare it. You are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. You're chosen in him. You're chosen in him. In his love, you are predestined for adoption to himself as sons. Now let's just really sock this thing down. Listen to this next one. For everybody, look at this. You were conceived in Father God's heart before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just pause there and just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the tremendous revelation of who he is and how he foresaw and knew who you would become, who you were to become. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to briefly look at Ephesians 3, 1 through 21, and then we'll jump into the main core of our message. Ephesians 3, 1, it says this. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now... Now this is later because he's in prison and he's writing from prison. He says, now I am now his prisoner for the sake of those who are not Jews, so that you will hear the gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you. For this wonderful mystery, which I briefly describe, was given to me by divine revelation, so that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his secret apostles and prophets and the Holy Spirit. Here's the secret. Do you have that verse? I have it further down. Yeah, go ahead and put the next verse up. There it is. Here's the secret. Everybody say this. The gospel of grace has made you, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him. When you first read this, you have no clue what it is. And so I want to go ahead and pose the question, what in the world? What do we, as co-heirs of his promise, receive through our union with Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ? What do we receive? Okay, close your eyes, lift your heads, and let me declare what you receive. You close your eyes. This is Paul praying. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your inmost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every one of his holy ones experienced, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring it is. Endless love beyond measurement. That transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you're filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will do all of that by his miraculous power that constantly energizes you. And we now offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at the next screen. Next one. This is what's been missing. You see, the American church, we all talk about read your Bible, do the stuff, you know, pray. Let me just go ahead and tell you what makes all that worthwhile. Receiving the Father's love. When you receive his love on a daily basis and you take the time to let his love pour into you, receiving his love. Receiving his love, receiving his love, receiving his love transforms you. It transforms you. Now the pressure's not on you to try to be acceptable because he's declared in Jesus Christ, you're already acceptable. His grace has done the work, and now you receive the fullness of his love working dynamically within you. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Say, Lord, open my heart to the deepest dimensions that I may experience the weight and the power and the fullness, the height, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. Fill me, O Lord. Daily fill me, daily fill me, daily fill me. Lord, I pray for this congregation and all that are not here today. I say daily, let there come the daily work of the Holy Spirit pouring the love of the Father into our hearts. I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be taken fully advantage of, that the praying in the Spirit would be daily, 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 that the streams of the rivers of tenderness and mercies of God would be daily, daily, daily. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide. It is by divine encounters with Jesus and the revelation of the Holy Spirit that Paul was transformed from being a persecutor of God's church to a faithful son doing the Father's business. Next one. In heaven, we will be loved perfectly, and we will love perfectly. Everybody say, praise the Lord. What you've always longed for is going to manifest. People that are not loved try to go get it out of something. That's where addictions come from. That's where waywardness comes from. Looking for the love that your heart was intended for, that's always found in him, looking for it somewhere else. The devastation of that is horrendous in our planet. In heaven, we will be loved perfectly, and we will love perfectly. We will be whole and free in every way. Our journey in coming into the embrace of Jesus in salvation is not, however, just to wait for heaven. It is the Lord's desire that we mature into what we will be like in heaven right now here on earth. Let's go ahead and say amen to the Lord. Because God intended us to be reunited with him and to live in that life union with him. And Jesus, thereby coming to know just how deeply you are cherished, how well thought of you are. Oh, I have that up here. He wants us to understand the fullness of his love for us now. This is amazing, isn't it? This is the prayer Paul's praying. How did Paul change? He got that fullness of that love. Look, I just want to throw this one in here. He and Silas are in Philippi, and they get whipped, right? because he cast a demon out of a girl that's a fortune-telling spirit. So he cast it out. Now she can't do it anymore because the demon's gone. And the people made money off of this lady. And they were prominent people in that culture. They got really mad. So they got the magistrates. And they arrested Paul and Silas. And they whipped them. They beat them up. And then they put them in prison. Now, if he had been an immature young believer, he would have done this.
Why does this have to happen to me? All I'm trying to do is serve Jesus, and everybody's coming against me. I just didn't want it.
And that's your average believer today. Your average believer today, unfortunately, is a victim. An orphan mentality. How come life didn't... I prayed and it didn't turn out the way I wanted to. Crumble, crumble, crumble. Now, I'm not saying people in here are like that at all. When the storms of life come, you stand up and begin praising the Lord. Paul and Silas, they were all wounded. They didn't sit in a jailhouse with the shackles on complaining. They begin to say, hey, I would just love to hear the conversation that happened there. Well, we really whacked the devil this time, didn't we? Hey, you know what? Listen, the Lord has something in this. He's going to do something. Let's just go ahead and praise you for a little bit. There's some powerful thing in here somewhere. It wouldn't be such a reaction. We stepped into this new territory and hell, devil rose up. It reminds us of those stories of Jesus where the demons said, hey, why are you here to, persecute us for our time? Because this lady said, these are the men of God. It was a spirit, you know. And finally, Paul just went, come out of her. And it came out. He just functioned at that kingdom authority. And now they're in prison. So they start singing. Now, you've heard the old story. If you have heard the old story, because they start singing, and there's a, well, Lord, we praise you, no matter what goes on, whatever, they're just singing, I'm making this up. And there's this melody begins to go up into the heavens, it goes up, and God the Father's hearing it, he's on the throne, and he's like, that sounds like Paul and Silas. And he's listening, and he's, oh, they're praising me no matter what trouble they're in. Oh, my God. And there's a little beat to it. It's a little rhythm. And the Bible says, heaven is his throne, and earth is his footstool. And he begins to tap his foot to the rhythm of the song. And here comes suddenly an earthquake. And the shaking of the building, and an earthquake comes. And all the shackles fall off. Oh, come on, somebody. And the prison guard knows that if the prisoner's getting away, then he's going to be killed. So he pulls out his sword to kill himself. And Paul says, we're still here. Everybody's still here. He already knows this. He's a citizen of Rome by law. He's born here. Hey, look. Don't do it. We're all here. And the guy, the miracle, he sees the miracle of a mature son of the faith worships God in the midst of desperate situations. God releases the shackles. He gives the breakthrough. And then what they do is in the middle of the night, the jailer goes and gets all of his family from home and they go down to the river and they give their hearts to Jesus and Paul baptizes them in the river. And they all do this at midnight, in the middle of the night. And then they all go back to the jail. And they sit there and wait for the magistrates and the other people to show up. Isn't that something? Mature believers doing the Father's business. Just say, Lord, make me like that. Lord, make me like that. So Paul, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, I want to touch something here. Because Paul, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, pins for us the picture of God's love intended to be expressed through us. And this is in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. It says, let's go ahead and read this aloud. Declare it. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, this is the description of God's love insightfully, which insightfully expresses the character of Jesus Christ. We can see that. He's the exact imprint of the Father. And so our spiritual journey is to grow up and express that quality of love through our lives. Now, Paul wasn't there, and let's go ahead and put up the next verse. So Paul says this in verse 11. Now, this is where we're anchoring our thoughts here. The title of this message is Putting Away Childish Things. And Paul says, when I was a child. Now, he says three things here. He says, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. And then he talks about a transformative work. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible term, next slide, the Bible term for child here used is describes three things. An infant, a minor that is not of age. It's also used for a childish believer who's untaught and unskilled. So Paul is focusing on the childish believer who's untaught and unskilled. In light of this verse, he's referring to the childish believer who is maturing. And he lists these three expressions for this childish behavior. Now watch this. I spoke as a child. This is what you say when you declare your mind. In this room, there are people that still say things that went into them when they were children. And they hold you back from becoming what Jesus wants you to become. Let's look at the next one. Understood as a child. This is an amazing thought because the definition here has to do with having an opinion of oneself. For years after the physical abuse as a child, I had a personal opinion that I was worthy of abuse and would abuse myself. Aren't you glad that I put away childish things? Aren't you glad you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to put away some childish things? The third one is I thought as a child. To make an account of, to determine, to decide. When we are full of those wounded places, we make bad decisions. We think wrong. So in becoming spiritually mature, Paul put away. Let's look at the next line. Now look at this. This is an amazing term. Everybody say put away. Now this is, we're going to get out of here really quick. So this is nice. So let's just focus here just 1 second. In fact, I want to say, Holy Spirit, download this moment into every person's heart and give the empowerment that Paul received from the Holy Spirit. Devin, you've had an encounter with Jesus somewhere in your life, haven't you? He made himself known to you, didn't he? It meant a lot to you, didn't it? The Lord just highlighted that to me. You've wanted to walk with him in a greater way than you have before. This is going to be really important. The Holy Spirit just made me know this stuff. Put away. Put away means to render idle. Isn't that amazing? Put away, to inactivate, to make inoperative, to deprive of influence, to cause to cease, to put an end to do away with, to annul and abolish. It is this Bible definition for put away that carries the weight of our freedom
and maturity. Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit helps you put away childish thinking, malformation, things that formed you that are like when I was beaten up and I went to a graveyard. I built an altar, basically, not building one, but just in my heart, when I was writing out what the Lord had showed me. You're going to go to the graveyard, you're going to draw a picture of your fist, because when I was beaten, I learned from my dad I'm worthy of abuse, and so I beat myself up. How about that? That's childish thinking. That's thinking like a child. That's having the opinion of myself that still carried, here I'm an adult, and yet I've still got that childish thinking inside of me. And the Lord says, I want you to put this away. Was it easy? No, but I wrote it out. I forgave and built, wrote it out and put it on a piece of paper. A whole lot of things I learned that day. But then I stuffed it, folded it up and put it under the stone bench. And I went home and Heather said, what happened? I said, well, I did it. I still was numb. I still didn't feel free. But 4 o'clock in the morning, when I got up to go to the bathroom and I was walking back to the bed, the Holy Spirit said real loud on the inside of me, you are free. And I felt like dancing in the hallway. I was like, oh my God. I had acted in faith. I did it by faith. I forgave by faith. And God said, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. You're free. And growing up in sonship, Paul put away childish speech. Whenever we experience a traumatic life event when we're young, we form an opinion of ourselves that may be negative. We speak those negative thoughts and therefore deliberate that our life will continue on this negative path. These are childish things that need to be abolished. How many of you know? I'm just going to focus on one thing now because I'm not going to look at all those, but just the one, the words. How many of you need help with your words pretty regular? Let's focus here. Words are powerful. Words create and shape thoughts, emotions, and actions. Words can take a grip on people, whether positive or negative. Words are used to bless, and words are used to curse. Romans 12:14 says, bless and do not curse. What's the word bless mean? Bless here means to celebrate with praises, to invoke blessings, to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings upon. One of the keys to my growing up spiritually as a man of God and a son doing the Father's business that has made room for a greater anointing and increased capacity on my life to function in the Spirit, to cast out demons on a regular basis, and to go into deep places where people are deeply wounded and bring healing by God's sovereign design, because I'm just a vessel and I know what it's like to have that bondage, and God put all this anointing in me to liberate captives, and I'm very happy about the calling. It's not even an effort. It's just a joy to me because I'm fulfilling the love that the Father has put in me to express for people. I just praise Him and praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. It could happen anywhere, anytime, day or night. When I'm tired, when I'm full of energy, the Lord just says, here's somebody I have a concern for. Would you just move in with the Holy Spirit, be led and help them? I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to do this. It's the ministry of Jesus. Jesus carried the heart of the Father and released the heart of the Father into people. And they begin to feel the love. And that's the blessing. And one of the things that's just helped me the most is blessing anybody that has cursed me. Blessing every person that has come against me personally. Blessing them, blessing them, blessing them. Because I had a life of bitterness. I'm never going to go back to a life of bitterness. I don't want a life of bitterness. I don't want any bitterness. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bless people, bless people, bless people, so that no bitterness ever get in my soul. Hello. Jesus said, do that. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you. That way you'll show that you're a son in the kingdom, for the Father himself is kind to the wicked and the ungrateful. So what does it mean to curse? The word curse here, this is the definition. It means to do, to imprecate evil upon. Imprecate means to invoke or call down evil or curses as upon a person. There are people that get hurt and they want that same hurt on that person. And instead of blessing them when they're hurt, they begin to spew and spew and spew. And now they're in a cycle where all that they're saying out to that other person is just going to come right back on them. Because judge not, you be not judged. Whatever manner you judge, it'll be measured back to you. So you have to make a decision. Am I going to put away childish things? Am I going to put away that thing that ensnares me? That's our decision, and we can. We can abolish it. We can put it to death. Does it mean it's not going to pop up again? Oh, come on. They're going to pop up all the time. The Pharisees kept chasing Jesus. The Pharisees kept chasing Paul. Religious-spirited people get mad at you for no reason at all except the devil's involved. It's crazy. It's kooky. It's just blindness. But Jesus is so faithful because when you, on a daily basis, go before Him to receive His love, it stabilizes you. When you receive His love, there are many of you in here that have been anointed to touch the lives of people. And you see the sheer joy of the Father's heart. You feel the sheer joy of the Father's heart and the joy of Jesus when someone receives that liberty and that freedom in Christ that you're carrying for them. This is a joyful thing. I'm going to finish with just one little story here. But next proverb 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit, eat the fruit thereof. I'll tell you this one. I got a phone call from a fella. My spiritual dad asked me to pray with, and he said, I'm so angry. And if you hear this guy's testimony, it's like he was raised on the street. He was taught to steal cars and fight and do drugs and fornicate and all that. He just messed up. He was in and out of rehab, in and out of juvenile detention, went in and out of prison over and over. The life is just devastated. He says, I have an anger problem. And I prayed. I said, Lord, show me what this is. The Lord said, it's death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He says, there's a wound in this that he's being healed of, but the real thing is death. So I got on the phone with him and I said, hey, I feel like the Lord showed me it's death because of all the words that you've spoken about death in your life. How many of you relate to this? Death. You speak things that are derogatory and give death to your life. Instead of blessing to your life, you speak negative words. You speak things that cause you to be cursed. You invoke hellish things upon your life. Today is your day to put away the childish speaking that releases death. I prayed with him, and he was wrapped up in it. Just like when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was all wrapped up. And we prayed a little prayer. I had my phone, and I said, okay, look, I'm going to pretend my phone is your head. And I'm going to start at the top of your head where all these negative death statements are wrapped around your mind. And I'm going to just speak what I'm doing. I said, I got my hand, and I'm pulling off all these negative statements off your head. Every word of death that you've spoken to yourself, I'm pulling it off right now. And the Holy Spirit began to move in his heart, began to break the power of that death on him. Went all the way down past his shoulders, down to his guts. I just prayed and said, now death, you have no place. In Jesus' name, you have to leave now. Be gone. And it left. He called me up a few days later and said, man, you can't believe the life I'm living. The freedom in my, because of taking the power of death through words away. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go ahead and lift your hearts to the Lord. Say, Lord, I repent for every time I've said a negative statement about myself. I don't want to reap it anymore. I'm sick and tired of partnering with the devil and speaking death over my own life. I renounce death now. I renounce all works of death. I renounce all words of death. And now I come to you, Lord Jesus, for I am blessed in Jesus Christ with authority over death. For you give me life. You give me abundant life. And I command death to leave. Go from me now. In Jesus' name, loose your people now. Woo, let's go ahead and praise the Lord. He's moving. Well, as a cleansing, the Spirit of God is here. Go ahead and just worship. Worship Him. Just worship. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Just worship Him. Let's worship Him. Turn from that. Turn from that. Walk to the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. But just praise the Lord with me. Say, thank you, Lord, for releasing me from this captivity in my tongue. I speak words of blessing over myself now. I am blessed of the Lord. Say, I am blessed of the Lord. I'm highly favored and well thought of. Jesus looks at me with eyes of love. Father longs for me to live in this intimate life union with Him. I praise you, Lord. I bless my life in the name of Jesus. I bless my family in Jesus' name. Let's worship here just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you one other little story. How many of you feel like we're getting somewhere? Feel like this is a fruitful time? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was bound up in a specific kind of way because of a word curse. And this is one that's so pervasive, at least in my generation, that he was 9 years old, and he was helping his father reshingle a roof. And he's up on the roof, and he's 9 years old. He's 9 years old, and he's up on the roof with a hammer and nails. He's 9 years old, and he's hammering, and he hits his thumb. He's 9 years old. He hits his thumb. He cracks the nail on his thumb. Blood starts gushing out. And his father says, because he's starting to cry, he's starting to cry because he's in immense pain. He's hurting. He's a 9-year-old boy, and he's hurting really bad because he smashed his thumb and it cracked the nail, and it's throbbing. And his father comes up and says, The men in our family, don't cry. And he shoved all those tears back in massive pain. And his dad got some electrical tape and he wrapped it and said, keep working. He swallowed the pain, the physical pain, he swallowed it. From then on, he swallowed every bit of pain of every kind. His grandparents died. He's at the funeral. Boys don't cry. He doesn't let any tears come out ever the rest of his life. This is what happened. He was a straight A student. Not only did he not cry, he never had joy when he did anything. The inability to express emotions when you're sad hinders your ability to express emotions when you're happy. That was a curse that came on his life. Boys don't cry. Men don't cry. And men grow up stuck as children in their lives. He excelled in sports. It didn't mean anything to him. He had no joy. He excelled in the military. Had no joy in it. We were at a men's retreat. We started talking. He told me about this. I said, in the Bible, you know, by the way, his dad could have said, oh my gosh, oh my goodness gracious, that looks horrible. Tell you what, let's just get you off the roof down there and have your mom, you know, patch that up and you take a couple hours till the pain says. His dad could have done that. But what did the dad do? He handed down what he received. Generational curse turns into a word curse through a trauma. And now he's stuck his whole life because of bad information and not acting like a human being. And so we talk about this. And as we're talking about it, we realized that Jesus wept. Jesus showed up and everybody was weeping over the fact that Lazarus had died. And even though Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead, he wept. Everybody say, Jesus wept. Jesus felt in his emotions. Paul had many tears. In 2 Corinthians 2:4, he records, "For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart with many tears. Not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." Paul is sharing the fact that as a human being, as a son of the living God, tears flow freely. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. In Lamentations 4:48, Jeremiah says, "My eyes flow with rivers of tears at the destruction of my people." Rivers, rivers. David, King David, and his men wept until they had no more power to weep at Ziklag when they stole all the wives and children. They wept until they had no more power to weep. These are spiritually mature men. Real men, everybody say, real men cry. Spiritually healthy men are not afraid to shed a tear. So anyway, he reminded me of this. He said, "Don't you remember when we went to the bedroom, we were staying around this retreat?" He says, "You came over and stood beside me in my bed." I didn't remember. He told me this. He said, "You told me I could forgive my dad for saying those words, and I could renounce the power of that statement in my life." I said, "I said that?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I prayed that prayer and the tears of that 9-year-old began to come out of my eyes. I got to pray out the pain that I never prayed out on the roof. I began to pour out tears." Come to find out, this man is an intercessor. And he is moved, whenever he's moved in his heart with the needs of other people, tears just well up as he's praying. He's free. He put away childish things. Let's praise the Lord. He broke the curse. Let's stand together. Father God, I thank you for freedom in Jesus Christ, that we become all that you intend us to be. Amen. If you have never completely surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, you can do that. It's not about accepting him in your heart. It's about turning your life over to him and say, "Here's my life. I give you the reins of my life. I give you everything." And that's who he is in our life. Let's go ahead and would you lift your hearts and hands before the Lord for a moment? Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for the spirit of liberty in Christ Jesus in every heart and mind in this place. We receive you. We receive you in all the fullness of your love and all the fullness that you have today. Thank you for the deposit of your liberating power that came forth today in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. There's a few of us down here. If you need further prayer, we can do that. You're dismissed. Love on each other.